The U.S. economy bounced back in a big way with the latest report on gross domestic product.
This completely smashed expectations. 3.2% growth in the first quarter is a very, very strong pace of growth. We haven't seen a growth rate like that in the first quarter since early 2015.
Plus, Joe Biden's presidential campaign rakes in $6.3 million in the first 24 hours. And the U.S. Justice Department is investigating Ford's vehicle emissions certification process. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our main story on GDP, here are some other top stories we're following. Former Vice President Joe Biden raised $6.3 million in the first 24 hours of his campaign for the White House, which he officially launched on Thursday. Biden's campaign says he raised at least $700,000 of that total at a fundraiser in Philadelphia. Biden's fundraising in the first 24 hours of his campaign exceeds that of his competitors, including former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke, who raised $6.1 million, and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who raked in $5.9 million in the first 24 hours. The U.S. Justice Department has launched a criminal investigation into Ford's vehicle emissions certification process. Ford had opened its own internal investigation after employees raised concerns about testing. The company could face penalties and lawsuits if its fuel economy ratings or emissions compliance are determined to be faulty. The investigation adds to the company's challenges as it works on an $11 billion restructuring plan under CEO Jim Hackett. A Russian woman who pleaded guilty to conspiring to influence U.S. politics has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. Attorneys for Maria Butina, who has been imprisoned since her arrest in July, had asked for a sentence of time served. Prosecutors had argued that her actions posed serious national security risks. Butina pleaded guilty in December, admitting that she was working with a top official from Russia's central bank to develop relationships with conservative American politicians, including through the National Rifle Association. Big oil companies are feeling the pinch from falling oil prices and other global factors, including sanctions in Venezuela and production cuts in Canada. ExxonMobil said earnings fell in every business segment in the United States and abroad in the first quarter. Chevron said profits fell by nearly a third. More oil companies report earnings next week, including BP and Royal Dutch Shell. The U.S. economy continued its expansion in the first quarter, growing at an annual rate of 3.2%, the strongest growth for the first quarter in 4 years. Joining me now via Skype from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Harriet Torrey. Harriet, break down this report for us. On the one hand, we had greater investment in inventory and a rise in exports. But on the other hand, we also saw slowing growth in consumer spending and business investment.
Yeah, when we look at this report, when you look at the top line number, this completely smashed expectations. 3.2% growth in the first quarter is a very, very strong pace of growth. We haven't seen a growth rate like that in the first quarter since early 2015. That also is much higher than economists' expectations. They were expecting 2.5% growth. But when we kind of look into the details of the report, a lot of that came down to factors that included trade and inventory investment. So net exports, which is exports minus imports, that contributed a percentage point to growth. And then the change in private non-farm inventories added 0.67% to growth. So those are really very strong numbers from those two factors. And we did see that consumer spending growth definitely slowed down from 2.5% in the fourth quarter to 1.2% in the first quarter, which is definitely really very far off the sort of 3.8% we were seeing in the second quarter and the 3.5% that we saw in the third quarter.
Still, though, Harriet, the Trump administration is taking a victory lap with these numbers. How much of the credit does go to the administration's policies here?
Well, so when we look at the import-export side of things, a lot of what was going on there is that companies stockpiled imports, or they imported a lot sort of extra at the end of 2018 because they thought that tariffs were going to go up in late 2018, and then they thought they were going to go up again in March. And actually, it turned out that those increases didn't come to pass because of progress in negotiations between Beijing and Washington. But that sort of trepidation did cause a bit of noise in the trade data. And we saw that in the first quarter, given the fact that imports were down so much. They were down 3.7% at a 3.7% rate. So that was a factor that was going on. On the other hand, you know, Trump officials have been talking about the report today, and it is undeniably a very strong top line number. And also, for a lot of Trump administration officials, what they're saying is, you know, a lot of people said that the tax cuts enacted in late 2017 would boost growth for a couple of quarters, and then that would fade out. And they're citing this as evidence that that wasn't a sugar high, that you know, this strong growth is continuing.
Finally, Harriet, as we look ahead to subsequent quarters, what are some of the challenges we could be anticipating here?
Well, looking at the report, the fact that consumer spending moderated in the first quarter is a bit of a worrying sign. On the other hand, the retail sales report for March, which came out last week, was very strong. It suggested that retail sales really picked up at the end of the first quarter. You remember at the beginning of the first quarter, we had the government shutdown, we had the polar vortex. There seems to be a lot of uncertainty that could have been keeping people, you know, away from spending. So it looks like headed into the second quarter that consumers have perked up. Consumer sentiment remains high. Of course, the unemployment rate is extremely low. Incomes are rising, wages are rising. So it does seem like a lot of the fundamentals for pickup in consumer spending are definitely still in place.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Harriet Torrey joining us via Skype from Washington, D.C. with more on the GDP report. Harriet, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, onto some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. American Airlines says first quarter profits suffered due to higher fuel prices and the grounding of Boeing 737 MAX. The carrier says it expects the groundings to reduce earnings by $350 million this year. The report comes a day after Southwest Airlines, which has the biggest MAX fleet, reported that the grounding would impact flight capacity growth. Boeing's 737 MAX aircraft were grounded last month after two fatal crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia. A federal judge in New York has granted another extension to securities regulators and Tesla CEO Elon Musk to resolve a dispute over whether Musk violated an earlier court order regarding his use of social media. The two sides now have until April 30th to reach an agreement. 2019 is a big year for tech IPOs, and The Wall Street Journal's John Stoll says investors are willing to look past big companies like Snap and Lyft hemorrhaging money. Lyft, which made its public debut last month, lost nearly $1 billion in 2018. And Snap this week posted a $310 million loss on $320 million in revenue.
The thing that these companies are doing is they're preaching growth. And I think, you know, blue chips are often criticized because they don't meet an analyst expectation, or EPS is down, earnings per share just weren't what people expected it to be. And so they get dinged and everybody's like, well, you know, they're held to one standard, but why is Silicon Valley held to another standard? And the answer is these tech companies are giving investors a message that they are growing and that eventually that growth will pay off with big profits. And so they would point to Amazon.com is probably, you know, exhibit A of why you should be patient and stick with some of these money losing companies, because the payoff in the long run is quite healthy if it actually does pay off.
So what do you think? Are you willing to take a big bet on the promise of future profitability? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts or by emailing us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com. That's What's News for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.